An Environmental Defence Society report commissioned by Auckland Council on the Hauraki Gulf Islands Tikapa Moana has been released and says that Waiheke Island, in particular, has been subject to intense development pressures due to its growing population and high pre-COVID visitor numbers. Another State of the Gulf report warned that despite 20 years of advocacy, legislation has done little to address fisheries on the verge of collapse, sediment choke and polluted waterways and threatened biodiversity, and that legislation was tipped too far towards development and utilisation over the environment. Now, the Hauraki Gulf Islands, Te Kapa Moana, are very much treasured by Aucklanders and indeed all New Zealanders. With us is Cordelia Woodhouse, an Environmental Defence Society solicitor, also co-author. Cordelia, kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora, Wallace. How are you?
Good. So this is focused on the islands in the Gulf, is that right?
It's focused on the inhabited islands, so right. Waiheke Island, Aotea, Great Barrier and Rikino.
Gotcha, yeah. So the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park Act established 20 years ago, 2000, to all good purposes. What difference has it made?
Not a lot of difference. It is sort of likened to a tick box exercise in some of the case law that we reviewed, and some judges go as far as saying that it degrades the hierarchy that's within Part 2 of the RMA, but others say that it's subsumed within those provisions or that it doesn't add anything at all.
Right, because I've been following the State of the Gulf reports over the years, and I've got to say, Cordelia, it makes pretty sad reading as an Aucklander who loves that jewel in the crown of Auckland. This is an issue going back many years, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I agree with you about it being a depressing read.
Yeah, so what are the issues? In fact, let's just go back. Let's just have a bit of a chat about Waiheke Island. What's the issue there? What's the issue with Waiheke Island in particular?
So this report focused mainly on landscape protection. So we did take a broader view of that, and we incorporated sort of cultural and historical elements as well as biodiversity elements. But for us, the focus was landscape, and there are other issues which are more explored in the State of the Environment Hauraki Gulf Forum reports. But for Waiheke Island, it's just the development pressure that the island's facing. Uh-huh. It's a fragile environment. It doesn't have great infrastructure, and just the population growth and the tourism growth has been detrimental to that island environment.
I see. All right. Well, Mark, you spent many, many years, of course, in Auckland. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a special place, Waiheke. I wonder, though, once again, is this Winston's fault? Because he brought in the gold card, and you go down to that ferry that goes to Waiheke, they are queuing up to get on when it's all free, and that must... And look, as much as I joke about it, I do wonder...
Oh, come on, Mark.
Whether, I know we're talking about visitor numbers. People, if you get a free trip, there's heaps of visitors going over there. So I'm just wondering, Cordelia, we need to go about visitor numbers and tourism. Is that a factor? Just a huge numbers of, you know, how much drain do the daily visitors put on the situation there?
Oh, I think it's a massive factor in the tourism pressures on the island. A lot of the visitors who go to Waiheke, whether or not they hold a gold card or not, they are mostly day trippers. So you do have those people just coming over, going to a winery for lunch and sort of hopping back over to the mainland on ferry. And so I think that there really needs to be a move towards slow tourism and sort of more sustainable tourism. And I think that's a growing movement around New Zealand, and it's something that's been talked about on the island specifically. And I think in a post-COVID world, we actually have a moment to breathe and re-evaluate and sort of get that slower, more sustainable tourism model operating where the environment is protected by tourism and not degraded by it.
Okay. Susan Hornsby-Gallick, do you have a comment as a Wellingtonian on this?
Oh, look, I love Waiheke Island, but I think, you know, these people have gone over and built these incredibly big and expensive houses, yet treat it like a tourist spot.
Right.
You know, it's not. It's basically like a small city now without the infrastructure to support it. And that's not just the fault of the legislation. The locals need to take control of this. And each person can do their bit, whether it's by cleaning out their septic tank or whatever, or at a local level. But, you know, we've got to stop looking at that as some sort of playground and start looking after it as a sort of a really unique and special place, but with proper infrastructure and support behind it.
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? You every year you go to Waiheke, it's just more built up, more built up. I'm wondering how sustainable that can be, Cordelia. There must be real. We might have to have a strengthening of the Hauraki Gulf Marine Park Act.
Yes, and I think also we've got a great time that the Auckland Unitary, the Auckland Council is reviewing bringing the Hauraki Gulf Islands into the Auckland Unitary Plan, and so there is an opportunity to strengthen those provisions about development on the island. The current district plan that applies to the Hauraki Gulf Islands is really innovative. It's unlike any of the district plans that got incorporated into the Unitary Plan. It takes the landscape approach and an environmental approach.
There is
an opportunity there to strengthen that and to sort of say, no, we don't want to allow big developments on the ridgelines of Waiheke Island,
Cordelia,
or Great Barrier Island.
Cordelia, I've just got to mention this before we go. Can you clarify this? Someone's texted there's no sewage system. Is that right?
There is. So there's only one area of Waiheke Island that's reticulated. The rest of it is on septic tanks. And that area that is reticulated is quite small. And that has been an ongoing issue for the island. It sort of seems to be split between some people wanting to get reticulated wastewater solutions, but then others saying that that's part of what Waiheke's charm is and it will stop future development. So
it's not that charming, is it? I mean, that's crazy. How many people live there?
I would need to check that, actually. It's been a few months since I wrote this report.
Good question, Susan.
Yeah.
But enough to have proper infrastructure, surely.
Well, there is one option, and that is to do a sort of a limited reticulation like they did in the Huia wastewater. So you don't allow for unlimited development. You sort of cap the amount of development that would be provided for under that wastewater.
9,000 people in the that was in the 2018.
Cordelia Woodhouse, Environmental Defence Society, thank you very much for that. If you do live on Waiheke Island, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. You can email the panel at rnz.co.nz.